London, the Strongbow Cloudy Apple Pub is coming to you. With guest landlord Johnny Vaughan popping in on Friday, DJ sets and live music on Saturday, plus the ultimate pub quiz on Sunday. The Strongbow Cloudy Apple Pop-Up Pub at Pub on the Park in London Fields, on from Thursday to Sunday. Visit thecloudyapple.com for more info. Strongbow Cloudy Apple. Premium refreshment. Aim high. Learn the facts at drinkaware.co.uk. Always drink responsibly.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the game. I'm Russ Cullen. We've got Nico Riesgo. Nick, how are you?
Russ Cullen, my man.
All right. Let's talk about what's going on in world of Major League Baseball. First, we'll congratulate Ichiro. He got his 3,000th hit, a triple, which, you know, it's funny when you look at a lot of guys when they get their 3,000th hit. Once in a while, there's a home run. Not that many triples. Like, this one hit off the top of the wall. It was close to being a homer. You could tell he tried to pull it, and it was just a great hit, a great moment. You know, they all hugged him at third, and I guess the only person who probably wasn't happy for him was Pete Rose.
Yeah, because I think he's going to go after Pete Rose. I mean, if I was Ichiro, I'd play until I die, until I get that record. He's only, what, I think, 5 years. I would say maybe 7 years away.
Yeah, I don't think he can get the record, but the idea is that even his combined hits for over in Japan, he has more than Pete Rose, and Pete Rose doesn't like it. So Pete Rose is like, well, it doesn't count. And it's like, nobody's saying it counts, Pete. No, because this is Major League Baseball, that's Japanese baseball. Nobody's saying it counts, but you can't just discard it saying he didn't get these hits. All you can say is, hey, you know what? He's got this many hits, he just has 3,000 in Major League Baseball. So it's different, that's all.
It is different, but I'd like to see him keep playing. I mean, I really think he's helping that Marlins team, and then Marlins have a chance to go somewhere this year with him. And I was talking on the phone this morning with Bill Guyvett, the former general manager of the Rockies. And we talked about Ichiro and the possibility of him staying and his accomplishments. And, you know, I'm for him staying. You know, I don't see him aging. And he's, like, ageless. I mean, the way he plays, the way he hits the ball, the way he runs, defense, I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. I would love to see him continue to play, and I would love to see him break Pete Rose's record in my lifetime.
I mean, I guess anything's possible. He's not quite the same, but nobody ever is. Let's see, I'm trying to look up his age now. He's 42, so he's not going to go much longer. Now, he might get another 200 or 300 hits. I think that's possible. He can go another year or two, but that's really all you're going to get out of him. Pete Rose's numbers are definitely safe. I mean, the last 2 years, like, he's only played – last year he played 153 games, only had 91 hits. This year he's played 96 games and 65 hits. So, no, he's, you know – he's going to eke out the next couple, but he's not going to break any more records. But it's still an amazing thing because I remember when he came in the league and he was getting 200 hits a year, I thought to myself, wow, he might be able to do this. And he has done it. Now, he's probably done it at a little later age than I expected because injuries happen and things happen. Major League Baseball is a grind, as you know. And so I look at it and say, wow, what an amazing player. A 314 lifetime average still.
Now, has he hasn't played the last couple of years. Is it because of injuries or is this because the teams haven't been really playing him trying to get the youth in there?
No, they haven't been playing him because he hasn't been hitting. I mean, he's played in a lot of games, you know, 140, 143, 153, but he just hasn't been as effective. So, like this year, he's played 96, but, you know, again, at the end of the day, you know, he has 9 steals, 12 RBIs. He's a part-time player now. I mean, that's what he is. But
now,
a very effective part-time player.
How many hits in 96 games?
He only has 65.
Okay. Now, if he was up near the 90, I figured, yeah, if you're playing in 96 games, you should have around 96 hits. That's kind of how I look at it. You got to have a hit per game to be in the best. Now, let me ask you this question. Who today is the best hitter in baseball today?
The best hitter in baseball today. It's a good question. You know, it's funny because if I'm still looking for a base hit, I'm probably still going to want him at bat. But if I'm going to just say who is the best hitter, it's probably Miguel Cabrera.
No, not today. Not based on stats. My chart says Nolan Arenado is the best hitter today in today's game, right now as we speak today. Now, it changes week by week because the guy from Toronto, the little third baseman Donaldson, is having a spectacular year. But Nolan, with this week, has just surpassed him. And I'd like maybe you and I to highlight the hitter of the game every time that we talk, because it definitely changes.
We could do that, but let's get something straight, though. We could do that. I mean, right now, Cabrera, after 14 years, has a .320 lifetime average. Like, that is already Hall of Fame worthy. That's crazy in this era. He's hitting .308 this year, and it's an off year. .308 is an off year, okay? He still has 25 homers,
yeah.
74 RBIs. If you're telling me I need to have one guy at the plate, he's the guy I want.
Well, yeah, he's got the experience. He's an awesome player. I'm just going just by the years. You know, who's having the best year at the top of their game?
That's fine. I get
you. Yeah, he is definitely this last week he's been on fire. He surpassed everybody, and yeah, without a doubt, he's the best hitter.
Okay, I get that. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Prince Fielder. Looks like his career is coming to an end via a neck injury. He's going to have to get surgery. Kind of rough, but then we looked up numbers, and I, you know, because that's always my thought. Let me look him up and see how he rated against his dad, right? And it's an amazing thing because Prince Fielder played 12 years. His dad played 13. They had the same amount of home runs, 319. Prince Fielder had a few more RBIs. Cecil Fielder had 1,008, and Prince has 1,028. Prince has a .283
yeah.
lifetime average. And Cecil's is a .255. So Prince is definitely the better player, but man, oh man, is this close.
I don't know about that, because let's add up Cecil's home runs in Japan. I mean, you gotta look at those.
Oh well, yeah, I don't have those numbers.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah, but they were like 50 home runs. That's where he really got his start, to hitting those big 50 home runs years, and then he came over. So yeah, he missed some good. Young youth years in Japan, so I wouldn't say Prince is the better. I guess that Cecil. I got a chance to play with Cecil real briefly on his last year in 1994 with the Tigers. I was in camp with them, and what an awesome guy! What an awesome player he was. Just a huge man.
Yeah, definitely a huge guy, and really an excellent player, a good hitter in his own right, a feared hitter. But like I said, this is a really good situation in the sense that when you look at a father and son duo and the numbers are that close. Now, Cecil in his worst year as far as strikeouts had 182. Let's see if Prince ever struck out close to that. No, 141. So I do think Prince was better. He's definitely the better hitter. Now, the difference
is, though.
Prince was playing from the age of 21 to 32, and Cecil, when he finally was playing, he started at 21, left by 24, and then came back at 26. So, little different situation there.
Yeah, about the same, though. I would say the closest father-son would be Griffey.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's the gold standard. But this is a really good father-son combo, so I think it was fun that we looked it up. And definitely worthy of a mention, that's for sure. But again, shame for Prince Fielder, good player, really feared hitter as well. It's the way it goes sometimes. Let's switch gears a little bit. Okay, so We're now inundated with Alex Rodriguez talk because he is being forced to retire from the Yankees. Now, he, of course, could get picked up by another team, but I don't think that's going to happen. And so he is being put out to pasture by the Yankees, and now the media is just – they didn't care about Alex Rodriguez all year. All year he's been failing and having a horrible year. The fans have really gotten on him for the most part. I mean, some feel bad, but not a lot. And so now, you know, Fox and WFAN, who has the Yankee contract, and all these outlets are, like, telling us, well, you know, got to watch A-Rod's last couple games, and I really don't care. I know you're going to have a different take, but there's a lot of people, even Yankee fans, and I'll tell you, it's all over my Facebook page, they just don't care because he's done too much. He's got, you know, with the steroids and everything else, that has sort of tarnished his image. And so the one thing Yankee fans are actually happy about is that he is not going to have the same amount of home runs as Babe Ruth. That actually is – I have found that to be very important to Yankee fans. But he's going to go away, or at least he's going to go away in pinstripes, and they plan on bringing him back as a coach next year unless, again, somebody takes him as a player. So what's your thoughts? Because he's still going to collect $27 million as a coach next year for the Yankees at worst.
Yeah, the Yankees have to try to figure out a way to try to save some of his contract. I guess they can't. But what they didn't want him to do is they didn't want him to surpass Babe Ruth in home runs, and they didn't want him to surpass Derek Jeter in hits. I mean, he would have been the all-time hit leader for the Yankees. But he didn't get all of his hits as a Yankee, so that kind of squashes that. I don't really see much more adding him. You know, he was pretty much, done. You know, he's had a pretty bad year, and I think it's time for him to go.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you're looking at a guy who is a part-time DH. I mean, that's bad when you're a part-time DH. I mean, to show you how bad this year is, he has 7 homers, 19 RBIs, hitting .244. He's only had 196 at-bats.
And
that's
how many games is that?
44 games. He's actually played less games than in his second year when he played 48 games in Seattle. His first year he only played 17, but that, you know, he just had a cup of coffee for that one. But in the second one he had 48 at-bats, 48 games, and so I guess by the end he'll be right around that same number. 22-year career. He's not going to make the Hall of Fame. Writers are going to hold his steroid use against him. I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to hold it against him. They're going to hold it against Barry Bonds and McGuire and Palmeiro and some of the great players. You know, I believe that they still would be in, and just based upon their performance on the field. But, you know, those are the writers. They make the decisions. And, you know, it's funny. They may be listening to our show. I would think maybe Cashman or maybe even Steinbrenner heard our show the last time, because I think we talked about the Yankees getting rid of both Alex and Teixeira, and then sure enough, both of them have announced their retirement kind of right after our show.
True. I mean, you never know in this digital age, but the one thing that's definitely for sure is this is a tough way for this guy to go out. It's definitely not the way he would have envisioned him going out, and it is what it is, right? I mean, you look at it and you say, you know, it could have ended differently for him. But even, I'm going to tell you, I mean, again, this is the bad part of when you have admitted to steroid use. So at the age of 40, you know, the wheels have fallen off. But at 39, he had 33 homers and 86 RBIs, his best year since 2010. You know, even people are going to look at that year and say, was that legitimate? And you can't knock him for saying it because – there's always going to be these suspicions.
Yeah, especially when he didn't do anything this year. You know, you think he would have followed it up with another good year, but he kind of went out with the bang last year, and that's about it.
So what do you think? Are you going to watch any of these last games of A-Rod? I mean, you had contact with him very early in his career when you were out of baseball. Is there going to be any sentimentality from you? Are you going to feel the nostalgia and feel the need to watch?
I'm gonna watch Friday's game. I wanna see him play. I wanna see his last at bats. I mean, I would have loved to see him do a Derek Jeter, kind of finalize it with with the World Series win and things like that, or at least I guess Jeter got a hit on this last at bat.
Yeah.
During the regular season, so hopefully he'll get a hit on his last at bat and kind of end it with a hit. That's going to be interesting to see.
Okay, now there's talk. Hal Steinbrenner has not ruled out the fact that he might get a monument someday in Monument Park for the Yankees, and most Yankee fans that I've come across are pretty outraged about that. When you think about it, guys from the 96 team that they put in there are definitely worthy. I don't know if Alex Rodriguez is worthy as a Yankee. I just don't. With all the things he's gone through, he sued the think of all the lawsuits he's had. Think about all the other things he's had going on. If it's something that happens, then to me it's happening clearly because of marketing. That's the way I look at it.
It is. It's marketing, and it's the post after baseball. It's the appearances, him representing the Yankees and different charity events and functions. And the bottom line, the guy is a great guy. I mean, they like being around him. He doesn't really have a lot of drug issues. He's never really had off the field crime, criminal things. He never beat his wife. He's never been in the spotlight for anything negative other than steroids. So they're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's a good person. And they want to, he's got over 3,000 hits. He's accomplished so much in the game itself. When you, outside the steroids, you look at one of the youngest players to be in the major leagues. His scouting, he kind of really brought in Machado, the guy from the Orioles. He was having, he's kind of advocating for the Yankees to get him. So he's got a good eye for talent. And he's done great for the game. So, yeah, I would like to see a statue of him. I have no problem with the statue. I think he's a great player and a great representative of the game.
Okay. I think you're in the minority there, but that's fine. I think, you know that. And I just think it's tough to put him in there. And if he does get put in there, then I think it's just sort of the end of Yankee tradition. Sorry. I can't think of guys like Mantle and Ruth and DiMaggio and A-Rod in the same sentence. I just can't. Now, I'm not a Yankee fan, so I'm probably not objective, but it's just, to me, it's one of those things where I look at it and I say, just doesn't feel right.
Well, you know what? They don't have a statue of Dave Winfield, do they? Because, like I said, Alex hasn't been with a Yankee all his career. So when you look at names that you just named, all those players are lifetime Yankees, and they have a
most
statue,
of them are.
You know, this
not all of them. Willie Randolph was a Pittsburgh Pirate before he was a Yankee. He's got one, but most of them are lifetime Yankees.
Willie Randolph.
He does have one, yeah.
Willie Randolph has a statue.
Yes, he does.
Now that's surprising to me because his numbers aren't really as well as hardly anybody in the top as far as the numbers.
Right.
Now, he's been a
coach, I think, because he lasted so long as a Yankee and was on, their big teams. I think that's why.
Any coach and things like that. He's more of a Yogi Berra was a player who's had records and stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. That's a big question mark right there.
It is. There's no question it's a question mark. And it's just one of those things that,
So if they can give it to Randolph, they could probably give it to that's what they're thinking. They can give it to Alex. He's got the Randolph clause.
He does. But I wouldn't give it to him. Like, I get what you're saying, and even my dog disagrees. I get what you're saying, but I don't think it's in the same breath. I just think I could live with the Willie Randolph because his early part of his career, he was with a different organization, but really all that he did as a player happened when he was a Yankee. I can give him that.
Okay.
Rodriguez had a whole career outside of the Yankees.
He did. He definitely did. He was only a Yankee for how many years?
Let's see. If I had a guess, I would say 10, but let's see. And you can make that same argument for Reggie, but obviously Reggie had more impact. All right, let's see. All right, what do we got here? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 or 11, yeah.
Now, how many did Reggie play?
Actually, this is his 12th season as a Yankee. Reggie, I think, was right around that same number.
So you say Reggie had more impact. Did he have more World Series? Because I know A-Rod won.
Yeah, he won more
World Series.
A-Rod had the one World Series where he did really well, and Reggie did really well in pretty much all his World Series, at least in the two.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, so I would definitely put Reggie Jackson ahead of him. And I think, you know, again, I think Reggie had more impact in the area.
Yeah, yeah, but like I said, when you look at Alex's numbers, he's got better numbers than Reggie.
Yeah, but Reggie also won two World Series in Oakland, too.
Okay, that's true.
Right? So you have to take that into account, too.
You definitely do.
So I think, I mean, Reggie's got five World Series. That's
hard to beat. That's definitely hard to beat, yeah.
I mean, when you add that up, Alex Rodriguez, you know, it's minor what he did compared to that. Again, and the home runs, you still have to be a major leaguer and hit home runs. I get it. But Alex Rodriguez was never going to hit that many home runs. And if we go by the early portion of his career where he's getting 36, 23, and then the numbers started to rise and rise and rise and rise, you know, he probably would have been a guy that hit 400 and something homers. Maybe 500, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I can go with that.
I think that's sort of the reality, you know. So, well, you know, we'll talk about other things. So the New York Mets, somehow, they're only a game and a half out of the wild card. They have had one of the more tumultuous seasons that I can remember them having, considering they're good. They are a good team. They're not a great team. They have really great pitching, but they're not a great team. And so this is a year where Met fans are just sort of Jekyll and Hyde. You love them one game, you hate them the next. You know, the last loss they had, they lose. Jay Bruce gets thrown out at the plate. Tim Tuffle probably shouldn't have sent him. They're trying to get the tying run in the ninth. He gets thrown out. Everybody walks off the field. Terry Collins doesn't even challenge the call, or at least yell at the umpire to take another look at it. They ask Terry Collins at the end of the game. He goes, yeah, I didn't even think of that. I just thought the game was over. Like, there's just a little bit off of Terry Collins' fastball this year. It's come up in a lot of games. And so now as a fan, you start counting them up. Well, how many games has Terry really impacted here? Of course you have to hit, right? And the Mets are lousy with runners in scoring position, just lousy. But you have to hit. And so when you look at that, as tight as it is in Major League Baseball, we knew this was going to be a tough year for the Mets because we knew Washington got better. We knew the Marlins would be better. We talked about that from the very first show. But when you now look at the impact and everything else, How much does a manager impact on last-minute calls like that, and now even trying to get a challenge, trying to get a call overturned? Those things matter in a pennant race.
It does, and if he's slipping, I mean, how can a manager not want to, challenge the last play of the game that actually could be the game right there, and for him to say he never thought about it, to me, that's insane, because I know I went to the Diamondback game last week, and there was two calls at first base that the umpire clearly blew. The runner, he called the runner safe, and both times the runner was out on the instant replay, and Dusty Baker, of all managers, he was on it, and it was like the first inning and then the third inning. He's not going to let one out get away from him without him challenging. So that's a manager, when you say, hey, that's someone who wants to win, who's got a desire to win, and he's in every pitch of that ball game. And every pitch counts, and every out counts. He wants every out, and he's on it. Whereas Terry Collins, we don't know where his head is at. He's definitely, I would say, he's lost probably 7 to 10 games for the team. And like I said, I'm
I don't think that's
going to get a new manager.
I don't think that's out of the question. I mean, I really don't. And it's just weird. Like, even his post game, he said that it's a tough way to end it. I thought for sure he was going to make it. That might be one of those plays where you might as well just take the chance anyway and see what happens. And then he said he didn't think about it as far as the, you know, the call, trying to get the call overturned. And so that's tough. I mean, when you say that in the New York area, that's really tough. Now, the other thing that's sort of been surrounding the Mets is the golf game of Yoenis Cespedes. He's on the shelf now. He's had a quad injury that he's been playing through, and nobody's been complaining about that. But they did see where he posted a picture where he played a round of golf with, I think, Kevin Millar. And then, you know, the next day he gets put on the DL. Nobody seems to be able to curtail his golf playing. When you played, how much did players play golf, you know, during the season?
You know, it's mainly pitchers who on their off days, they'd go out and play golf. No players, really. They would kind of recommend the players don't even think about, you know, going golfing during the season, especially if you have a game at night, maybe on an off day, things like that. But, yeah, the whole Cespedes thing, you know, I really haven't been a Cespedes fan. I think the Mets blew their card when they traded the young Michael Fulmer. I think the Tigers really got the steal of the deal on that one, because when you look at Fulmer, his youth, and what a year he's had, he's making a run for the Rookie of the Year this year. And he could be, if you can imagine, Fulmer, Snydergaard, DeGrom, 1-2-3, mm-hmm. I think they didn't even need the Pettis. They'd have been lights out. And like I said, they probably had the best pitching staff, and they'd probably have a better shot at the World Series.
No, they need Cespedes. Their hitting is really bad. I mean, without Cespedes, I would disagree with that. I think they really do need him. I mean, right now, in 94 games, he has 59 RBIs. Just let that sit and simmer for a while. Those are pretty unbelievable numbers. I mean, last year he had 44 RBIs in 57 games for the Mets. These are big-time run-producing numbers. 22 homers.
No, I don't agree. I don't agree. If he's played in 90 games, I think he should have drove in 90 runs. I mean, that's a high.
Oh,
like,
stop. Nobody drives in
another
run a game. Hack Wilson had 190 RBIs. He's the only guy that's driving in a run a game. Nobody drives in a run a game. Come on.
Well,
look at
Nate Arellano. He's close. I mean, he's close. I'd say he doesn't even have Nolan Arellano's numbers. I mean, when you look at Cespedes' numbers, he's not even in the top, I would say, 20 hitters of the game. I mean, he's not.
That's
there.
That's fine. I mean, he's had some issues this year.
Well, look at his numbers last year. I don't think he's ever been in the top 20 hitters of the game.
Well, for his time with the Mets, which is really all we're talking about this moment, he had 44 RBIs in 50-something games, which is tremendous, 17 homers in 230 at-bats, which is tremendous, and he hit .287, which is really good. So, and he only struck out 54 times in 57 games, so even his strikeouts went down. That's a good run. That's a great run. That's why the Mets made it. This year has been a good year for him, but, you know, he's had some injuries, but, I mean, he's almost got 100 hits. He's got more hits than games played. I mean, this is a power hitter. So I think when you break that down in today's game, that's a really tremendous year. There's nothing he can do
to
be any better.
Yeah, for his injuries, I count that against him. I mean, players play through injuries. I mean, he hasn't been one of those players to play through injuries. Seems like if he gets hurt, he's going to be take a day off. I mean, I wouldn't have made that trade. I mean, that's just me. I'm not going to trade a top young pitcher for a hitter who hasn't proven himself at the major league level at some spectacular numbers. Like Miguel Cabrera, maybe. Maybe Miguel Cabrera, but I'm not going to take a young pitcher. Fulmer is just turning out to be an awesome, awesome steal of a deal for the Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, a steal, no, because the Mets got to the World Series. A great deal, yes. But it was great for both teams. So, I don't have a problem with this. But anyhow,
the World Series this year and Fulmer wins, you know, two World Series games. Are you going to change your mind then?
I might change my mind then. But we'll leave it there. we appreciate everybody listening, and we'll catch everybody next time, next week. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, Russ.
London, the Strongbow Cloudy Apple Pub is coming to you. With guest landlord Johnny Vaughan popping in on Friday, DJ sets and live music on Saturday, plus the ultimate pub quiz on Sunday. The Strongbow Cloudy Apple Pop-Up Pub at Pub on the Park in London Fields, on from Thursday to Sunday. Visit thecloudyapple.com for more info. Strongbow Cloudy Apple. Premium refreshment. Aim high. Learn the facts at drinkaware.co.uk. Always drink responsibly.